We're about to begin a new sugya. We just barely started at the end of the year yesterday. So let's pick it up again from the Gemara is trying to understand. If you're really worried about it yet not being written the Shema that's arriving in Florence, so how do you know, based on the mere testimony of one aid, that in fact the get was written the Shema? So we have a general rule. It's a Dom Shabierva, it's a Chazoka, and all the requirements of two aidim. So how do we let you get away with one? So the basic thrust of the sugya is that in the Torah, we don't really have a problem anyway. With the Raisa, we've long cleared the problem. All this whole concern is only on a level of the Rabbanan. The level of the Rabbanan. Chazaka said whatever they want. They may be as a Rabbanan. They can break the as a Rabbanan, believing the Erecha. But you have to cross that bridge. You have to get to the point of solving the problem with the Raisa. This is like a common theme. We find this very, very often in halacha, where we have a challenge and we have to identify, is it a deraisa challenge or a deravana challenge? And very often you could tell what degree of the challenge is and what the solution is. I say this in Shia very often. I said deraisa problems require deraisa solutions. Deravana problems suffice with deravana solutions. So Ein Echad is a deravana solution. That's not going to fly in the Torah. If it's a deravana solution, then it must only have been a problem in deravana. So what was the solution deraisa? The Gemara says the solution deraisa was Rav. That most people are aware of the halacha of lishma, and therefore the rov is a chrab hakos. We can paskei b'daraisa to get it most probably kosher, and in the Torah world we're okay to make that statement most probably. If it's most probably kosher in the Torah, but the rabbana doesn't look so good, doesn't look right, doesn't smell right. With the rabbana, we're going to make a chumrah, we'll get a little bit more clarity. That chumrah rabbana, it is enough. So that's the flow of the Gemara. But now the Gemara throws a curveball at us in the flow itself, because the Gemara says that if everything is hinging upon Rov, not everybody, the biggest believer is a Rov. And here we go back to the first of the Imam Kamos, where the Gemara has the following addition, so to speak, to the Shachmatayim. Now, feel the Rav Meir, the Chashmi Yutta says, the Gemara, even according to that one Tana Rav Meir, who doesn't seem to follow a Rov, or at least not in the fullest sense of the word like we're used to, so Rav Meir is Choshish for a Biut. Says the Gemara, don't worry about it. Stop suffering the dynamic with Mirig. The Dayanim, the Sofrim, those who are really right in Gittin, they for sure know it has to be Lishma. This is better than a Rov. This is something even Rabbi Meir would accept. Now, what that means, we have a lot of work to do with the Sugya. But clearly the Gemara was concerned. The Gemara raised the red flag according to Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara says, don't worry about it. Even according to Rabbi Meir, we're home free. Rabbanu Yatzich, Rabbanu should be good at Kilabarabban. So the flow of the Gemara remains intact. Bainlich, the Rabbanu Bainlich, Rabbi Meir. We just had to add on a little bit of Kinej, that according to Rav Meir, a little bit of a better role than we would have otherwise needed. But I want to focus more on those first four words. About funeral Rav Meir, the Chash, the Yuta. It is clear that the Gemara ran into trouble. It is clear that the Gemara saw this as a challenge. According to Rav Meir, just falling back on rope is not going to work. What did Rav Meir say? What leads us to believe that Rav Meir is almost like a non-rogue person that caused the Gemara to raise this extra challenge and forced the Amorim to add on another line and a half to the Gemara? If not for Rav Meir, the sugya would have ended a long time ago. So what was it about Rav Meir said? So first of all, what did Rav Meir say? What was Rav Meir's original statement altogether? So the original machloek was in Rav Meir and the Rabbanan revolved around the sugya in Maseches Yevamos, where is that? Part of a long walk, so we'll give the top zakar of the machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. It revolves around the following question. You could theoretically have a situation where a ketana, a little girl, just under the age of Bas Mitzvah, she was married, ben HaTorah, her husband died, and now she falls for Yibum. Husband died without any children, so she falls for Yibum. Is that a problem? Is there anything wrong with somebody under the age of Bas Mitzvah doing Yibum? So the Gemara draws the following distinction. The Gemara says that to do Chalitza, that's a huge problem. The Gemara dashes from Sukkim, he has to be Ish, he has to be Bar Mitzvah. So now I can understand. Yibum, what's the deal? She was married before, so let her just continue to be married to the brother. What's the big deal? So comes her marriage says, no. We have a completely tangential external concern. The concern is as follows. It happens to be a halacha that if a woman is an islandess meaning that she cannot have children. It doesn't just mean that hormonal issues have trouble becoming pregnant. It means that some something wrong with the anatomy. There's something wrong with the way her body developed or didn't develop. She just will never ever have children. She's not developed properly as a female. So comes the Halacha and says, an eyeliness is not subject to the entire parasha of human chalitza. The Torah says, the Torah speaks about having children. If the woman cannot physically, anatomically have children, so the whole parasha of human chalitza falls by the wayside. When there's no parasha of human chalitza, if you go ahead and do a yibum, you go ahead and marry that brother, small technical problem, that's just a curse. Because the only time you're allowed to violate or otherwise be a brother's wife is only for the mitzvah of yibum. But if the mitzvah of yibum doesn't speak to you, then that's a nisar arayis. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu of Edom. What if the husband had a child? Reuven died, but he left children behind. So Reuven left children behind. There's no yibum. There's no chalitza. There's nothing. So then, obviously, if you go ahead and you do yibum, so then that's a violation. Eishes Achim. That's an erva more batara. There is a very, very strange story that's told about Reb Chaim Ozer, the Pesach, adored in Vilna right before the war. The story is told about Reb Chaim Ozer. He one time was traveling on Friday, and he got stuck with the wagon, whatever, they broke down. He had to come to some little tiny shtetl in Europe. It's been Shabbos there. He was to go to the door, a little shtetl. I'm not sure people knew who he was exactly. And somebody came up to him after Shabbos, or the Balbatim in the town, up and said, Rabbi, Rabbi. He said, I'm supposed to get married. He said, I would be so honored. You know, we don't really have a rabbi in town. You'll be a Sadiq Kedushin for me. So I was okay. And that's why I ended up stuck with Abishan. So he talks to me a little bit, tell me a little bit about it. Your brother. So he said, I'll tell you the story. He said, you know, my brother was married and had a few little children. Nebuchadnezzar, he died. So I feel so bad that no one's going to help raise these children. So I'm going to be such a nice person. I'm going to marry the brother's Amana and I'm going to help raise the children. So now I know why I came to this step with it. It's a curse. The next children will be Mamzer. This is Arias. So that's Eishes Achim Shlomo Mokom Mitzvah. So Chaim was explained to him his motive, you know, his intention may have been noble, but that was not exactly what the Halacha requires of him. So over here, if you would know that somebody was an eyeliness, this woman is just impossible to have children for biological, physical reasons, the whole mitzvah would fall by the wayside. We don't know that. Why would we even think so? The Torah says we don't know that because she's not yet even 12 years old. You can only begin to sense whether she is biologically reached the point of an eyeliness after she reaches 12 and she doesn't develop properly. And then the Gemara gives us all kinds of simanim to figure out whether she is or is not an eyeliness. So here we have a 10-year-old girl in front of us and she wants to do yibum. Her husband dies and she wants to do yibum. So comes her Rebbe and says, no, lotus yamim, shevetim's eyeliness. We cannot permit her to do yibum under the age of 12 until we've proven she has developed properly. And the Chum said, what are the odds of that? What are the world of the odds that this woman, this girl, is not going to become a normal woman? She's going to become an eyeliness. It's so unlikely. And therefore, we follow, guess what's in the Chum? We follow the principle of Rav. To which Rabbi Meir said, no, we don't. Chashir lemiuta. We are worried. We are concerned about a miut. We don't just follow Rav just like that. We're always in the back of our mind worried a little bit about a miut. So that was the machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Chum. Can a katana be Mishab Bemisana? The name was Choshesh for Amiyot, and the Rabbanan were not Choshesh Amiyot. So let's just backpedal for a minute. That Machlokes, for Amiyot the Chachamim, that's playing out now in our sugya. Because when the Gemara says about Filu Ramey the Chayesh the Miyutah, what the Gemara had in mind was that statement that Rabbi Meir in Yavamas, Rabbi Meir doesn't follow Rove so fast. That's why we have to figure out why this get is still Kosher in that Torah. So let's stop for a second. Rabbi Meir doesn't follow Rove. Rabbi Meir lived his life not following Rav. How could that be? It's a positive chumshah. Rabbi Hattos. So let's take a look at the third of the Rabbi Chavos. We'll perhaps get a little bit of a better understanding of what Rabbi Meir did or didn't say. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph raised the following question: what is the source for this principle that the Chum tell us that we follow Rav? Yes, Gemara. Menolan, you want to know what's the source, Rav? Come on, the Chiddush Rabbi Hattos. The Torah says we have a latest asofik. We're not sure whether Reuven owes the $1,000 or not. Two judges say he owes. One judge says he doesn't owe. He passed him like the rope. So comes the Gemara and says that principle of Achram Mahatas, although it was originally said in the realm of two out of three dayonim, it is true in Kol HaTorah Kula. So, for example, a famous case, you have nine stores selling kosher meat, one store selling trefah meat. I find a piece of meat on the floor. I don't know where it came from. Because Acharei Mahatos, we can extrapolate from Dayanim to stores. Says the Gemara, everybody knows that. We don't need any more elaboration on that. Says the Gemara, no. What our question was is as follows. So, Ruba de Isa, come on, you can go Teisha Chanuyos for Sanhedrin, Lokum and Vaila. Those cases of Teisha Chanuyos to my stores, or the case of the three Dayanim in the Beis Din, that's obvious that you follow Rove. That's what we call a Ruba de Isa, come on. Ruba de Isa, come on means we counted it up. We counted up the stores. We counted up the Dayanim. We know what the numbers are. It's 2-1. It's 9-1. For sure you follow Rove. Ki kama vayelan ruba de leise, come on. The shadow that the Gemara is raising is, what about a ruba de leise, come on? Nobody counted up anything. It's just an assessment. It's just we look at the world around us and we realize it's probably the following. Kigon, what's the example par excellence of ruba de leise, come on? Go cut the ketanim and all. The case of Rebbe and Rabbanim. The case of a ketan or a ketana doing yibum. We look at this child in front of us, this 10-year-old girl, we say, the odds are you're not an islandess. What does that mean? That means somebody sat down and counted all women in the world, and counted all islandesses, and realized that? That's ridiculous. How do we come to the realization that most people are not islandesses? We look at the world around us, we see most women having children. Most women look normal, everything looks okay. We know in the back of our mind, that once in a while, there's an exception to the rule. That's what's called the Ruba de Leise Kamon. Says the Gemara, a Ruba de Leise Kamon is not as powerful as Ruba de Isa Kamon at first glance, because Ruba de Isa Kamon, I can count it, I can see it, I can point to it. There's the store, there's the store, there's the store. There's the Dayan, there's the Dayan, there's the Dayan. Ruba de Leise Kamon, I'm doing some kind of a statistical study somewhere on my computer at the 87.5% people in the world are such and such. So comes the Gemara and says, just because we have a puzzle that teaches us there's a principle called Ruba de Isa Kamon, how do you know that there's a principle called Ruba de Leise Kamon? And the example being Kadriv Dana. So the Gemara works, for a daf and a half to try to bring a raya, a proof for the existence of this principle called Ruba de Leise Kamon. So we're going to jump ahead about a blot and a half when the Gemara basically concludes that there is no proof. There's no machlok. There's no possible. There's no possible in Chumash that's an absolute convincing that there is such a principle even called Ruba de Leise Kamon. But we follow it. The Ma'aseh Chacham follow it. Katzuk Tana. We pass that you are allowed to Yibum. We know that we follow the Ruba de Leise Kamon. So where did it come from?
But if it's actually a rule, why is it any different?
So the Gemara thought at this stage that.
Okay, there's something.
No. Well, again, we have a latest Asafin. So, for example, we don't know is this meat coming from the kosher store. We have a latest Asafin. We don't know is this 10-year-old girl an analyst or not an analyst. So those are examples of latest Asfakis. Now we.
Something is like a
99.1. So right now we're not even talking numbers. We're not even playing statistic games right now. Now we're just trying to figure out conceptually the different kinds of rows. So in the world of Lumbus, in the world of Moshe Schweitzer, these are different kinds of rows. One case, we have the row in front of us. We counted it on our fingers. The other one, we're just making some kind of an assessment. So at this stage in the Gemara thinks that Ruben the Issa Kamon is better. Because that's the most. Acharei Mahatos is an example of Ruben the Issa Kamon. So the Gemara, after spending a daf and a half to try to figure out what in the world is the source for Ruben the Issa Kamon, the Gemara never answers. The Gemara just leaves us hanging. But there's something missing in the Gemara because the Ma'aseh works. The Mishnah says it works. Katzer of Tana works. We pass like the Chachamim. So what is the missing link? The Gemara is silent. So where the Gemara is silent, Rashi picks up. So Rashi in Maseches Chulin has two interpretations as to what's the Maskaras Advar. Acharei Kichlos HaKol, how do you know a Ruba de Leise Kamon? So Rashi says one answer is, like Steve says, the Gemara backpedals from its assumption. The Gemara assumed for the first half and a half that Ruba de Issa Kamon and Ruba de Leise Kamon are so conceptually, analytically different from one another that you cannot extrapolate one from another. The Gemara said, you know what? Too much lumpness over there. It's all the same. What's the difference? If it's 95% for this, it's 95% for that. Who cares whether it's a statistical role, whether it's an actual role, whether I can point to the stores, I can't point to the girls. What's the difference? That artificial distinction is artificial. There's nothing true, nothing valid about that distinction to the two kinds of roles. So if you go down that route, then if I would stop you and ask you, what's the source for the principle called Ruba de Leise Kamon? The answer is Acharei Rabba Mahatos. You had a shtickl kasha. What do you mean? That's Issa Kamon. And there's a Leise Kamon. Who cares? That distinction is null and void. Oh, well, yeah, you just do a curveball. You threw the possibility of maybe you could find out. Okay, so we're going to discuss that as a possibility in a second. So one conclusion to the entire thing is there's one din of rov. It's all learned out from the same pasuk. They both basically work the same way. It's a nuance. There's a little bit of conceptually different. There's the isa, there's a leisa, but that difference is really irrelevant to Allah. That's one pshat. And Rashi says, no, the OG Shleiman. Rashi says, what's the missing link? We know there's a din of Katan of Tana. We know there's a din of Ruben the Lacey Kaman. Everybody except for maybe Rabbi Meir. We know that's the halacha that we follow, Ruben the Lacey Kaman. Vishtay, Menon Emili, where does it say it? We can't find a puzzle. So says Rashi, whenever you find a din, we know it's a din deraisa. There's no question about it that it works for the Torah, and we can't pinpoint anything in Toshim Echsav. Says Rashi, it must be halacha mashmisim. Rashi throws his hands up and says that in the absence of a source of Toshim Echsav, we know that it is true, we know it's working, it's functioning in the Torah, it must be it's a halacha mashmisim. So Rashi, at the end of the sugya, is trying to fill Rashi's scrapture. Rashi's working very, very hard to try to fill in the missing piece. Because the Gemara never commits to what the final answer is. The Gemara tried, and fails. So Rashi has two pshat. So at the end of the day, it works. Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu works. But wait a second. But Rabbi Meir didn't accept that. Rabbi Meir, the Maaser disagrees with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meir holds that the little 10-year-old cannot do Yibum because of the concern Shemitah's islandess. So what does Rabbi Meir think about everything we just talked about for the last 10 minutes? What's Rabbi Meir's version of Rove? So comes Tosus. Back to the memory comes. Comes Tosus in one line. Top Tosus, the fifth memory comes. Middle of the line. The nearest Tosus. The mid-araisa lochayish Rabbi Meir lemiyuta element Rabbanah. Comes Tosus and says, don't make too much of a story out of Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Meir in Yevamos said that a katana can't do yibum because Shema Timta Islandis, that was not a deraisa that could concern. Min HaTorah, Rabbi Meir is on the same page as the Chachamim, you follow Rov. Ruben the Issa, come on, you follow because Vacharam Hatas. Ruben the Leisa, come on, you follow either because of Pshat 1 in Rashi or Pshat 2 in Rashi. In the Torah world, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan have absolutely identical approaches to Rove. Rove works both Issa Kaman and Leisa Kaman. So what do we do with Rabbi Meir's sheet that we know that Rabbi Meir is a Chashid on the Miyuta person? So Midrab, not the first, not the last, Chumah Midrabbanan. That's a Tosus sizes of the Sibya. But, not everyone agrees with Tosus. In the sixth of the Ramakamos, so the Mordechai, the first line, the Mordechai is relating a discussion that two of the Bali Texas had, Rabbeinu Baruch and Rabbeinu Meshulam. So it's a little choppy in the Mordechai. There's always a lot of Tosafot in the Mordechai. So Beheshel Lo Rabbeinu Baruch and Omer, Rabbi Meir Mod the Vita Barabach of Duchta, Af Al Gav Yuchayish Bemil Medaraisa. Said Rabbeinu Baruch that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Famiyot Min HaTorah. That doesn't mean that Rabbi Meir denies what we learned about in your day, in Chulun days, a bitl barov. If you have a mixture of a little bit of treifos falls into the kosher food, that's a different sugya. So we don't want to go down that route, says Rabbeinu Baruch. But the concern of Rabbi Meir of Chashin and Lemiyot, that's a deraisa concern. That's a real concern. It's not a chumah made up in the Rabbanan. That's a real concern. How could Rabbi Meir be chashish Lemiyot? What happened to those 2 days in Rashi? It's Kasha against Rabbi Meir from Rashi. Rabbi Meir would respond, I think that the distinction between Issa Kaman and Leisa Kaman is correct. I think that Acharav Mahatos is only talking about a Reuben Issa Kaman, like judges, like stores. I think, says Rabbi Meir, that a Reuben the Leisa Kaman, where we can't count up, such as the case of the little girl doing Yibum, is a concern in a Torah. Or, according to the second interpretation of Rashi, says Rabbi Meir, I never heard of that from Halacha Moshe Sinai. I go when it says the Chumash. The Chumash only speaks about Aruv the Issa Kaman. I deny the existence of that tradition. So we have a major machloikis that we show them now within the view of Rabbi Meir. So according to Tosfos, Rabbi Meir and the Chacham see eye to eye min haTorah. There's no such thing as Chashir and Mahir min haTorah. Min haTorah, Rov carries today. According to the Mordechai, not so simple. According to the Mordechai B'das Rabbi Meir, Rome doesn't carry the day so fast. Even in HaTorah, we have a concern. So let's take that machlokas, toes of the Mordechai, and put it on the back burner just for a moment. So we're probably wondering, wait a second, why are we spending so much time in the intricacies of what Rabbi Meir said? Because this machlokas, toes of the Mordechai, now becomes absolutely critical when we open up Git and Dabbez of the Bez. We have to read our Gemara within the eyes of the Rishonim. Let's go back now to the first of the Makomos. Back to the days of the days. Now we know a little bit more about the Rebbe Shita. Let's try to read the Gemara properly. Let's remember what the flow, the trajectory of the Gemara was. We have a Mishnah that says one Shliach is believed. The Gemara says, what? One Shliach believed? What happened? Ein dov shaviyam pachas nishayim. The last 2 months of Kolobokir. What do you mean? How should we believe? Where says, no, you got it all wrong. Min haTorah, there's no problem anyway. The problem is on the Rabbanon, and therefore we, but for the Rabbanon, we're very, very lean. That's the flow of the Teretz. So our goal on the Beis in Gittin is to solve the problem min haTorah. Comes the Gemara and says, you solve the problem according to almost everybody. What about according to Rabbi Meir? V'afil Rabbi Meir d'chayish l'miyuta. In those four words, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. According to Rabbi Meir, you haven't solved the problem min haTorah. According to the Mordechai, who says that Rabbi Meir is choshesh from min haTorah, the Gemara reads like a charm. But the Mordechai is sitting and reading the Gemara. Vafil Rabbi Meir, who I told you a million times over, is choshesh b'daraisa. Hey, wait a second. You have a daraisa problem. How could you believe the Erecha? But according to Tosfos, who says that even Rabbi Meir was only choshesh b'drabanan, the Gemara falls flat on his face. The Gemara says, "Afil Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir, who's the biggest machmir, who's choshesh the miyut, somebody has to whisper into the Gemara's ear and say, come on, that was only a chumum b'drabanan. If it's only a chumum b'drabanan, so the same answer we gave before, an Erecha should be believed. Why does the Gemara even bother to mention Rabbi Meir? If Rabbi Meir's concern was a deraisa concern, then Rabbi Meir's shita raises a challenge to our flow of the Gemara. But if Rabbi Meir's shita was only a derabbanan shita, like Tosfos and Chulin claims, so what do you mean I feel like Rabbi Meir? The Gemara should have stopped the question dead on the spot. The Gemara should have said, I feel like Rabbi Meir should to stop. Silly question, irrelevant question. Rabbi Meir is only a derabbanan chumra, and as a derabbanan chumra, an erechad would be believed. Why does the Gemara have to raise a cup and say, no, it's an unbelievable robe, it's not a 92%, it's a 98.5%. Stop. Cut out the next line here for the Gemara, according to Shita Tosfos. So there has to be more that meets the eye here. There has to be some reason that even Tosfos, who normally understood Rabbi Meir to be Chumah D'Rabbanan, the buck stops here. In Gindav Beis, there's something here in Gindav Beis that poses a problem Midah Araisa. What is it? What is present in Gidda days and days that all of a sudden creates a problem, even on a level of their eyes? So let's take a look at the eighth of the Mount of Comos for a second, where Tosfos kind of in passing the Maseches Bechoros and the Chof give us the answer to this riddle. The bold lines. Let's not forget, is the Balei Tosfos thinking, is the Balei Tosfos talking, were the big believers that Rabbi Meir is not a deraisa person, not a deraisa concern. However, says Tosfos, the famous word miu, however, who miu says Tosfos in the bold lines, hecha dechazopa mesayas lemiut, nira dechayish armeo lemiu mideraisa. So says, when did Rabbi Meir only say a chumma midirabanan? That's when you have a latest asafik, a 50-50 chance. I have no idea what to do here. And I'm scrounging around looking, do I have robes? I have nothing else to go on. I have no chazok. I have no status quo that I have a problem here. I don't know anything. I have a latest asafik, and all of a sudden I start to do the math. And I realize that I have a 90% chance that I'm probably okay. The child, this little girl, 10-year-old, most probably not really an islandist. Come on, we know she's most probably not an islandist. There's a chance, maybe a couple of percent chance that she is an islandist. So comes Rabbi Meir and says, you know what? Chashir l'miyuta. To what degree is Rabbi Meir chashir l'miyuta? Midrabban. It's not a thing midraisa. Rambam carries the day midraisa, lachmor sina, whatever the reasons are. Rebbe says, as a chumid rabbanon, we're going to insist not to do yibum yet. Wait it out for a few years. Don't do yibum now as a chumid rabbanon. But, sisters, what if I would have a shiloh where it's not just the latest of suffering, just in the middle of nowhere. There's a chazokah, there's the status quo that we have a problem. We know that we had a problem. Until now, we had a problem. And now we're trying to solve that pre-existing problem. That's called the existence of a cheskes iser. When you have an existence of a cheskes iser combined with a miut, Rabbi Meir says that's a problem in HaTorah. We have a name for that. It's called smoch miuta lechazokah. The two forces joined together, the cheskes iser, together with the miut, and according to Rabbi Meir, that becomes a problem on the level of deraisa. And guess what? It's that new equation of smoke mitzvah chazaka. It's that new principle, Schweitzer principle, dalet vav 2 6. Know that smoke mitzvah chazaka. That is a red flag with the araisa, at least according to Rabbi Meir. Now let's go back for the third time, back to the Gemara second. Now we read these questions. We just read reading one line of the Gemara. We just read it three times. One time we read it quickly, we didn't realize it was a problem. Second time we realized it was a problem. Now we're reading it third time with the solution to the problem. Says the Gemara, so we said within that line is the following assumption. According to Rabbi Meir, we are in a huge, huge problem. We are in a pickle midaraisa. We have a real concern midaraisa. Just saying, oh, Rav Gittin, a problem with Shmat is not going to solve the problem midaraisa. You got to do more than that. Why is it a problem midaraisa? It's only a chum mid rabbanan miyuta. This case of get, what is it? We have a latest asafin. We have a piece of paper in front of us. We have a latest asafin. Was this get written in the Shema now? So the odds are it was probably written in the Shema. So we have a row. But there's a miyut. And Rabbi Meir starts to get very, very nervous with this miyut. To what degree is Rabbi Meir nervous? Is he nervous bin HaTorah or is he nervous bin the rabbanan? This is not just a miyut. There's a cheskes iser here. The woman was married for the last 20 years, and we're trying to change her status of chazaka. We know this is a chazaka. We've learned cheskes iser for the last 2 months. This case of getting aveis is a perfect example of those three bad words, smoch, miut, and chazaka. Combined forces, the miut of Rabbi Meir, and the cheskes iser, merge and fuse together to pose a problem, a challenge, mid araisa. That's what the Gemara means. But the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't mean the case of Yibum really. The case of Yibum is not really a problem with the Raisa. That's only a miyuta de Rabbanan. But Rabbi Meir's heart and soul, the Tanis of Mechoris Tavchof, when you have a smoke miyuta lechazaka, that is a problem with the Raisa. And that problem, the Raisa, has to be solved. The Gemara is going to solve it by saying, this is not a robe, this is 99.99, it's better than a robe. The Gemara is going to have a solution in his back pocket. But we're not even interested in the solution yet. We haven't even tackled what the problem is. So now, if the finally we read the Gemara for the third time, at least now we have a fighting chance what the Gemara means. We read the Gemara first and said, according to Rabbi Hashem Lemuta, great, Kasha, fantastic. And then we looked at it and said, wait a second, according to Rabbi Baruch, that Mordechai, that's great. According to Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't read at all. And now we said, no. But the Tosfos tells us in Mechoros, that piece of information of smoke mitzvah chazaka being a problem in that Torah, that makes sense out of this line and getting done. There's only one small point that's missing. How did Tosfos Mechoros know that? Like, where did they arbitrarily make such a statement that, oh yeah, Rabbi Meir is only the Rabbanan person, but somebody's the Raisa person? So just like flipping a coin, Rabbi Meir is the Raisa. But what prompted Tosfos to say that? So Tosfos Mechoros gave you the secret. They told you three words. If you go back to the eighth of Rabbi Mechoros for a second, back to the end of the bold lines, the Tosfos says the chayish ramel amir with the raisa, midatia gabetino. That's it. Tosfos says I am the sugi of tino. If you look at the sugi of tino, then you'll know what we're talking about. So we have to make sure we know which sugi of tino Tosfos is talking about. So there's a whole sugi in Maseches Kiddushin that we spoke about the sugi in the past, where it's that gemara that forced Tosfos' hand. Now we want to make sure we understand that sugi of tino properly. Because it's that sugi of tino evolution that's going to save the day for getting aveis. So notice we have like a triangle here of sugis. We have a gemara and getting aveis. All we're trying to do is just learn one half baked line, one half question according to our mayor and getting aveis. That's the only. That was the goal this morning, to understand what the gemara's kasha was. In order to understand that kasha, we had to explain what our mayor shita was. We had to learn a sugi and chulin together. We had to figure out what in the world our mayor's view was. We bumped into a machlekes taisus and the morning, right? We went back to Gittin Davbeis a second time, realizing the Gemara reads smoothly according to Mordechai and reads like a flop according to Tosfos. We dug up a Tosfos Mechoris that says, no, this is Smokhul Chazoka, this is better, or worse, whatever you want to call it. This is a Deraisnika problem. And Tosfos says, trust us, you know why? With the Tia Gabbatino. So what baby? Who baby? Who baby? So we have to go back to the Sugya, the famous Sugya of Tino, to know what in the world Tosfos is talking about. So the Sugya of Tino is on the 7th of the Ramah Kamos. We're not going to have a chance to finish it. We're just barely started today. The 7th of the Ramah Kamos. It's a Sugya in Kedushin of Pam and Aleph. It's non Tino Shinim Tim Tana Isa Batsik Biyado. We have a dough, a Batsik. The dough has a Cheskes Tara. It has been Torah for the last couple of hours. Last we know, this dough was Torah. All of a sudden, we find a little kid playing with this Isa, and we have reason to believe that this kid was Tomei. Why do we have reason to believe the kid is Tomei? Because kids like to play with dead mice and dead lizards. Before they had better toys, that's what he used to play with in the old days, cheaper than the toys today. So the odds are the kid is probably Tomei. So now we have all of a sudden unraveling in front of us the following. We have a Cheskes Tahara of the Isa. So the status quo of the Isa was with Tahara. We have a role that the kid is most probably Tomei, and the two are clashing together. And Rav Meir and the Rabban are about to get into a big argument about that. So it's going to be this Sugya of Tino that's going to be the key to Tosfos Mechoros, which is going to be the key to the Tosfos Chulin, which is going to be key to the Gemara. Stay with us for another couple of days. Hope that's Shabbat on Friday. We'll be able to combine all the pieces of the puzzle. Where's the Chazaka? I have a latest assumption. That's a Ikpay Shur. That's not a Chazaka. That's not a